What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
All right, welcome back to the Handmade Podcast, episode 41, the return of Paul Pinto.
I'm back.
The young son is back. Welcome back, Paul. How you doing?
I'm good. I liked Jimmy's. I liked how Jimmy filled in for me. He did a very good job.
Yeah.
You better watch out.
What's his impression of you?
You better watch out, that freaking son of a bitch. I'll start selling soap. I'll open up Fairfield Soap Works. All right. You better watch out.
It's so funny. You look at his hands. Do you think he uses that soap?
He needs extra strength. Dermatologist prescription, you know, grade cream.
All
those
things. I hate to start the show with breaking on Jimmy, but he breaks my balls about my spelling.
Yeah.
Right? He breaks my balls about my hands. I'm like, my hair on my head. I go, dude, you ever look in the mirror?
It's like all the same shit going on with him.
Yeah. And I'm going to bring it up because, what the hell is this? My computer's acting up.
No technical difficulties allowed.
Yeah, I'll save the other story for the after show. He knows what I was going to tell you, but he's been breaking my balls about the pronunciation of a word.
Yeah.
It is funny, but I'll talk about that later. But no, Jimmy did a pretty good job filling in.
He did a good job. He hit all the usual topics.
Yeah. He didn't have any stock tips for anybody, though.
No.
So that was kind of, I think people were disappointed about that.
Yeah.
If you want to go into that, Paul, have you been watching Doge last couple of days?
I can't. I'm not even. People must think I'm like super into Doge. Like, I have no Doge right now. I sold it all. Is it going up?
Dude, it's at 38. It was at 39 today.
I can't.
What was it at?
I bought it at 5 cents.
Yeah, this kid over here.
Wow.
I have 19,000 Doge. So if anybody wants to do the math, I could knock my house down tomorrow.
I can't do. I have Bitcoin. I have Ethereum. I had Doge.
But you hold those.
I got to stick with the more legit stuff until you know.
It's just a crap legit stuff. There's going to be a day where I didn't sell it and it's worth nothing, and the money I have into, I'll be like, I could have had like $7,000, but whatever. It's just fun to watch it go.
It'll be a great story.
I'd throw another 1,000 into it just to see what the hell happens, but I gotta wait till it goes down again.
But it's so high, exactly.
That's the problem.
Anyway, speaking of the house upstate in the pre-show, that's what we were talking about, was my property upstate and the plan up there. But what I've been talking about is knocking that house down, right? And one of the things I've been thinking about, as Derek was just talking about before we started recording, was that the property value in upstate New York has gotten to be so crazy. What I think I might do is, I'll wait till Pinto comes back. He disappeared. What I think I'm going to wind up doing upstate is knocking down that building and then making it into a like ready to develop site with the well fixed and the power like reestablished, and then let somebody else deal with the septic and then list it like way higher, because it's like, why not? You know, I think it's worth it.
Yeah.
But Derek, have you been looking up there since you've been spending time in the Irish Alps? Do you need to buy a house now?
Yeah, I have some people looking at some property for me. No, actually it's, I want to. I meant to yesterday. I had a visitor come up and we were talking about it and we were looking around, and you know, she loved it up here, but my wife came up, but
gotta clear that up. Don't worry.
She's gonna listen and say, what? He had somebody up there? I'm not figuring out it's her. But no, it just there's a couple places for sale, but like there's nothing for sale up here. Nothing. Jimmy sent me a couple listings today for some property like an hour from here that's pretty nice. But it's just nothing for sale. You know,
people are just putting crazy prices on the shit up there because they, you know, a lot of those properties, I'm sure they don't need to or really care to sell them. But if somebody from the city will give them, you know, 400 grand for something that they would sell for 200, they're just going to take it and buy something else. There was a property up there on 47 acres. This is pre-COVID. It was right by the AstraZeneca or whatever it is, whatever the pharmaceutical place up there by Jimmy's house is.
I think down the
it was
street.
Kind of like, it was like, but it was like a little bit, you couldn't see that pharmaceutical plant from it. It was 47 acres with a farmhouse that somebody had started renovating, but it wasn't like mine. Like it was a real structure. It was a nice house. And I want to say it was listed for like 140. And it sold. This is pre-COVID. Now I have to imagine that like the shittiest house up there is 140, which is crazy because, you know, like there was another property that I had looked at up there that was 180, and it had a huge, like a 4,000 foot barn on it, like a beautiful high post exposed beam barn with like equipment size door, like an incredible like dream shop. And it was on top of the mountain like Patrick's house is. And that one was under 200 grand.
Wow.
You know, like, you know, it's crazy now prices. It's crazy the way the prices have gone up there. And I mean, listen, it's a beautiful place to go.
Oh,
to.
Yeah,
I mean, we all love it up there. I mean, the food is yet to be desired, right?
We just got to fly in a private chef.
Yeah, you know? That's it.
Well, it's funny.
But that place
a bunch of movie stars living up there now. We need some private chefs. We need some private planes. Helicopter, maybe.
Bobby right Flay. Across the street.
Bobby Flay's coming in for a competition.
Well, your boy with the signature.
Dude,
maybe now he would sign your stuff. Who's
Madonna right up there?
Brad Leone.
Brad Leone would sign your autograph now that
fuck him. I wouldn't sign it for him.
The poor guy could have got like freaking someone signed something and like maybe he like lost a bunch of money from like, you know, credit card fraud or something. Now he's afraid to sign his signature.
Yeah,
and Derek's just ripped it on him.
Yeah, it just rips him. But it was nice up here. There was a farm that Taylor had sent me. This is like 2 years ago. It's called Broadview Farm. It's right next to the Zoom Flume. Beautiful barn, beautiful couple outbuildings.
Dude, the Zoom Flume.
Dude, I tell you, that place, it looks like they were cleaning it up.
Oh, really?
By there the other day, yeah. But this place was on, they were selling for $350, which was a ton of money up here, you know, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
They were renting that out. Me and Graz had seen that on Airbnb, $10,000 a month.
That's a lot of money.
Right? So I'm like, who the hell's renting this for $10,000 a month? There had to be six reviews of people that had it for a month.
Wow.
I'm like, you shit.
Because you get some guy from the city who's making $25,000 a month,
you
know, as a broker or as a, you know, like a mergers trader.
Yeah.
I won't say who it is, but someone that I'm connected to's brother is renting a house out on Long Island that was listed for sale for $9 million. And he's probably paying $15,000 to $20,000 a month to rent that house.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
Because he's also paying his mortgage in the city. He still has a place in Manhattan. He didn't like sell his apartment in the city. Yeah. He just, during COVID, he didn't want to live in the city. He's involved in a high, you know, a high income business, so he can afford it. And, you know, it's like a, it's like an 11 bedroom house, you know, and he's still paying whatever it costs to live in Manhattan.
Yeah.
You know, you don't like lose that. You don't lose that payment because you moved. So he's probably, you know, but it's no big deal. So if you can go upstate where it's like nice and quiet and you have the money.
Yeah.
Shit. Why not? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool. Yeah. No, I'm, it's exciting to see what you guys are doing up there. I know we can't talk about it, but.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about it. I just can't talk about what I'm doing physically, but you know, obviously Jimmy leaked it out. Kind of. I mean, we weren't playing a baseball game. We're recording a show. Can't say who it's for and what we're doing on it, but I will be up here till probably mid-July.
You
know, I thought it was going to be June, but it's going to be July. And yeah, you know, the tough part is I really haven't told work yet.
Oh my God.
That's to ask for forgiveness than permission. Yeah,
that's actually a nervous.
When do they expect you back at the pizza place?
They expect me back June 6th.
Oh my God.
Tell them that made a mistake. Be like, guys, it was never
I said
June
July. 6th. It was July. July. I said July.
It was July.
No.
It was August 6th. I need 2 weeks to recover once I get home.
Yeah.
Think about the backlog of epoxy signs you're going to have when you get back to Malden.
I'm so fucking nervous about that, but I, there's nothing I can do about it now.
About work or about your side stuff?
Work. Side stuff, it's fine. I get a lot of people reaching out to me still, and I'm just straight up with them. I said, listen, I might be able to do something like in a month. It might not.
Yeah, you got to get your feet months. Like you got to really get acclimated.
Once they get like a schedule going, like we'll see what we can do. You know, Jimmy's like, you know, hey, use any machines you want. But honestly, you know, dude, he's got that shop bought CNC.
Oh yeah, how's that thing?
I don't want to fucking touch that thing. It's like that thing's a monster. It's beautiful.
But now what does it drive through? It doesn't drive through Mach whatever.
No. They have their own proprietary shit. And it just, I don't like get it. It's just too, I don't even know what it is. I don't want to say too basic, but it's like Mach 3, like you can kind of see what you're doing and you got like a little screen and all this shit. This, you're just like putting in the G code and just hitting start and you can't see where the head is. And that tool chain, dude, you should see the spindle on that fucking thing.
Yeah.
Holy shit. It's 3-phase, 5-horsepower spindle, right?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It is a fuck. Dude, it's this round.
That's just
I was gonna say,
full,
you thought your machine was scary.
Dude, it's what's that, Paul?
That's just an industrial grade machine, right?
Oh my God, it's crazy. Yeah, and it's held up. I don't know. It's electric, but it's air assisted. The air is for the tool changer, but the air pressure keeps the head up as well.
Oh wow!
So like, if you shut it off and kill the air, the head will slam down to the table.
Oh, wow.
That's why I'm like, I don't know how.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I said, Chris. Exactly. I thought Jimmy was nuts because I'm like, there's no way the air is keeping the head up. And sure as shit, dude, you let the air out of the tank, it will drop. And
so
I don't
what's
know.
Generating the air? It's running
there's
on a compressor as well?
Or outside, yeah. Well,
but a separate compressor?
It's not part of the machine. It's hooked up to a compressor, so the air pressure – does the tool changer, and then that's the other thing. So it's got the tool changer at the end of the table, and when the head goes over it, it's like a half inch of clearance.
Ooh,
so that thing fucking comes. It's like a freight train coming right at it, and I'm just like, I'm good with that one.
No thanks.
I think I might play with the small one. Get
yourself an X carb and put it on the table.
Yeah.
You should have brought your StepCraft from home. You could have been using that.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that. That's actually a good idea.
It's probably what's the bet on that?
The StepCraft that would be probably about enough. It's like 17.5 by 23.
Yeah, you could do most of your times on that. Like, it's one at a time. But
Yeah, but that's fine. But he has the small shop bot. I think, like, next week I'll play with that a little bit, maybe get that going and screw around with that. Because just the tool changer, it's kind of a pain in the ass. Like, you get every time, you know how, like, you have to zero it out? You have to zero out the tool changer. And it's simple enough. Like, you just put in what tool you want. But I'm like, I don't want to get involved with that. I just want to turn something on and use it. But,
yeah.
But yeah, it's a beautiful machine. I can't believe that like they're going to want the thing back. He's got to talk to them because I would just think it's in their best interest to have him use the thing.
I know.
You know what I mean?
Well, did you listen to the whole episode last week?
Yeah.
Because I figured out that thing is like $60,000 or something.
Yeah. He's thinking 30.
So what's his name? Came in and is like, yeah, it's about 30. Yeah. I'm like, what is he talking about?
I'm like, no way.
No that way.
So much money, man.
Yeah.
The tool changer is $15,000.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a beautiful machine, though.
That's cool.
Really, really is nice. And I tell you, they just did a beautiful job with Jimmy's shop. It's all Jimmy's stuff, you know. And it's funny because we were laughing about that. Like, people are going to watch us and be like, what a fucking cheesy studio they made for it. You know, it's like, it just looks so nice. It's lit so well. And it just, you know, all his shit from over the years on the walls and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And,
that's cool.
You know, it looks unbelievable. It really, really does look great. You know, so
it needed that little kick to like get that place finished.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, cause it was getting there. Yeah. And remember when he was away, we went up and tried to insulate it. And it was like, it was always going to get close. But the fact that it's done, he's got to be, I mean, aside from the mezzanine, which is probably better that he didn't put it in yet, cause it would have changed the lighting and the feel of it. But it's got to feel so good for him to walk into it and have it feel done.
Yeah. You know? You can tell he's having a lot of fun. And I'm just like, I don't even want to fucking talk about it because I'll probably get emotional about it. But it's like, I'm still like a huge fucking DiResta fan. Like, you know what I mean? First and foremost. So it's like, to be a fan of Jimmy DiResta and then be a friend of Jimmy DiResta and then to be doing this project with Jimmy DiResta, it's like,
it's a dream come true.
It is. It really is. And it's like, and he's having so much fucking fun with it. It's so much fun. You know,
that's awesome.
And, you know, he was just like, you know, the end of shooting on Friday. Cause, like, honestly, dude, like, you know, I mean, I'm saying this for the people that listen to this. You guys already know this, but like, came Monday, I was like, if they tell me to fucking go home, I'm going home. It's like, this sucks. It's just, I can't do this. You know, it was so difficult, you know, and I was like, I didn't think it was going to be anything like it was, you know. I just thought we were going to be fucking around and there were just going to be a couple cameras and this is like legit, you know. And but then Tuesday was better, Wednesday was great, Thursday was phenomenal, and just, you know, Friday was just like, it was just a great vibe. And it's just like, you know, these people are just so encouraging and they got like a whole gig going, the whole production team. But Jimmy's just like, you know, what do you think? How do you like it? And I'm like, it was fucking good. He goes, it's fun, isn't it? He goes, I hate to admit it. He goes, but I love this shit, you know? And it was just,
he's like
just
the
so
biggest
much fun.
Critic of the, of his own.
Yeah.
Work.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, and he knows. And it was just so much fun, you know? And I hope, you know, when we can talk about it and people can see what we've been working on, people are like, you know, there's going to be people, you know, they're telling us, right? They're like, people are going to just break your fucking balls and say, you know, you sell out, it sucks or whatever. But he goes, that's just people that are jealous. You know, he's like, he's like, it's just, I think it's really going to, you know, be different and people are going to be like, wow, that was really fucking cool. You know?
Yeah. When's John's airtime, dude? I want to see when like Johnny DiResta gets back on.
Dude, I got a beautiful text from him last night, and I don't think he listens to the podcast, but if he does, you know, that's great. But
need to have him on as a freaking guest.
Oh.
Oh.
Are you kidding me? Dude, wait, we might have to bleep out a lot of shit.
Do we have any sponsors that sponsor us?
Well, before we have sponsors, we could have
John. That's the time to do it.
But yeah, but he's having a few health issues and stuff like that. He's doing fine, but he sent me a great text the other night, and it was just real nice. He's such a good guy, and that's a great idea. We should have him on, you know. Maybe he can tell us some bullshit Jimmy stories or something, you know.
Oh my God.
But
you could have Jimmy's mother on.
Yeah,
I'm sure she's got some. Yeah. She's got some dirty laundry she could air out. Well, that was the original plan, right? We got to get Nicole Duke on to like make fun of Bobby.
Yeah. Did you see his last video? He just did the Minecraft.
Did.
He's a fucking mental case, man.
Oh my God, I couldn't believe he did the water slide stickers for every single one of those.
I know. Balls. I'm like, oh my God, did you see it, Paul?
No, I gotta see it,
dude. He makes like a full size like Minecraft thing.
Oh, God.
And he took stickers.
Like a diorama.
Yeah. And he took stickers. Whoa. Like, know the wet and slide stickers or whatever they call them?
Mm-hmm.
Like you wet them and they slide onto like a model and stuff.
That looks exactly the same as the.
Yeah. Yeah. It does look exactly the same.
Oh, my God.
Was that company a sponsor of the video or something, Chris?
What company?
The
Papercraft company?
That made the stickers? Because I was doing something while I was watching it and I seen him show like the model of the airplane he did it, and then he talked about him and he's like, oh, they, you know, you can go online and get their shit, whatever. But that's pretty cool. That's actually a good idea for like just other things that you can, you know, buy that film and use it. Because I mean, sometimes I do signs that I just can't, you know, I'd never be able to paint, you know, certain parts of it. And it would be neat to kind of do something like that, you know?
Yeah, no, it came out amazing. I thought that it was such a good video. It was
so crazy. Oh my God. Pissing my pants.
There's a
laughing
clip in the middle of it where I literally was hysterically laughing. I was actually showing Angela last night. So like about 14 minutes in, he's like playing the drums and then he just like screams because he's been working on it for so long. He's like, and I literally was hysterically laughing because I was like, I've had that exact moment where I've worked on something for so long that I just like lunge over and start and just like let it out. I was like, oh my God, this is hysterical. And he says that project took him the longest of anything he's ever made.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to make all those cubes exactly the same. Like,
together.
And know what's so funny? Like, he's such an idiot in such a great way. But, like, you know, obviously, you know, not that he's writing scripts, but, you know, it's scripted. He's got Nicole filming him now for a lot of the stuff. But it's like, he actually thought like to act this way, like in certain things, like, and I just find it so funny. Like he must go to her and she must just shake her head. Say, you gotta be shitting me. Like,
oh yeah.
Like, you know, but he's just so goddamn funny. You know, he really is, you know, but yeah, that was a good one. I tell you, every time he comes out with one like that, I'm like, what could he possibly do that's crazy next? You know? And then he comes out with something like this and it's like, it's like, it's almost like find something that's so tedious no idiot would ever do and then do it. It's like when he took that pencil and carved it into the three pencils. It's like, who the hell would ever do that? You know, it just nuts. But
I mean, that's what did it. That was like the thing, right? That was the one of the catalysts from getting his channel going was like the little sword.
Sword
from the bolt, right? That was like maybe one of his first.
Yeah.
Or the Milana thing, I think, was the first thing.
Yeah, that was
viral,
the first one. But yeah, but that sword one out of the bolt, I think, was the one that really sent him over the top. That got like 100 million views on Facebook or some bullshit like that.
Crazy.
I'm assuming it did. I know it was like 70 million at one point.
The stainless steel bolt to the hunting knife has 97 million views on YouTube.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Almost 100 million views, and it looks like I can't tell. Oh no! For some reason, it has some sort of weird like hashtag on the top, like almost like it was trending, but I don't know why it would be like that. But anyway, he 97,969,000. So basically 98 million views.
Wow.
God, there's got to be some serious ad
that's
ad gotta money
be, that's got to be the
I didn't want to be the one to say
that's got to be the first like maker type video to surpass like 100 million when it does.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And just nobody else. 100
million is a huge. And on YouTube, on Facebook, it's one thing.
Yeah, that's like a Drake
because I feel
music
like
video.
Facebook views. Yeah, I feel like Facebook views like come in such massive waves. But like to hit 100 million,
that's like Justin Bieber's
YouTube.
New song gets like 100 million.
Yeah.
You know, that's crazy.
It's crazy. Yeah. Shout out to Bobby Duke. But so we know what Derek's been up to. Pinto, what have you been working on?
A million different things. I've been a bunch of different railings, those aluminum tables, just trying to get the shop in order. I've been on a couple different jobs installing things. But it's finally getting kind of organized. I got some new guys coming in, to help. So it's just, I don't know. I'm so tired from the past week. Like I'm forgetting like all the stuff that we've done, but it's going pretty good now. stressful trying to run a business.
Yeah. I bet. Bringing in people, it compounds your stress. Every one person you bring in adds like two times the stress.
Yeah, because now you got to watch them and see what they're doing and, you know, making mistakes and reading plans and, you know, it's hard. Yeah. But I got one really good guy who, you know, always gets everything right and, you know, he's very reliable. I got to get Fred back in too. That's not Fred, but
is Fred not there anymore?
No, Fred. I haven't had Fred, you know, I haven't had him working in a while. You know, one, because I don't know, he just kind of disappeared on me. And two, like, I just had a bunch of welding shit to do. And he's actually been doing stuff at my uncle's house, but I got to have him back because I have those aluminum tables. I got to put Trex on the top. So I'm going to have him do all the tops. Nice. And then I think we might have a fence job actually for the barn, which I was telling you guys about. I'm trying to convince my father to get a bobcat so we can do that fence, because he's doing like all the running the whole job up there at the barn. They went like through a major renovation. And now there's like hundreds and hundreds of feet of fence that they need for the horses, because they cleared a bunch of land. And in order to pay for all that fence, I think it'd be like $65,000 worth of fence for all the horse paddocks. So I'm like, why don't we just buy a bobcat and buy one of those hydraulic fence pounders and order the material right from the mill and just do it ourselves, because it's like so simple. It's just treated, you know, round fence posts that you pound into the ground, and then white oak rough sawn boards that you just nail with a nail gun right into those posts. So it's like, it's,
it doesn't,
it's
get such, wire or anything.
No,
it doesn't need it, right? Because the horse is kind of like, don't mess with it.
Yeah, it's just four white oak boards, and then posts every 8 feet. So you get 16-foot boards and then, you know, 8-foot long posts, and they're spaced out 8 feet apart. It's like anybody could do it. I'm just going to go there, and if we end up doing it, pound everything in, lay it all out with Fred, set all the posts, and then we'll just have some, you know, carpenters or whoever, you know, shoot those things in with a nail gun or something.
Just run right behind you,
And it's a good excuse to get a bobcat. Because I don't know if you've ever gone on. Yeah, because I've always, you know, I love machines like that, and I've always wanted one. But it's actually something that could be very useful.
Oh, yeah.
For a bunch of different things for me. And I don't know, you know that thing RR Buildings uses, that boom, that skid steer boom?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's from Quick Attach or something, that company that makes all the attachments for skid steers. It's pretty awesome. It's like a hydraulic boom. I think it could reach like 25 or maybe even more than that, feet up in the air. And I could use it on smaller jobs that aren't big enough to have a crane or even rent a big, huge lull. But if I still need a way to get material like one or two stories up in the air, you know, for some smaller stuff, I could bring that machine there and lift 1,000 pounds or, you know, 500 pounds, depending on the beam. Because a lot of these beams aren't super heavy, you know, for smaller jobs. They might be like 600 pounds, 500 pounds. Which is, you know, you still need some type of machine to lift them up. So I thought that would be a good thing to do, you know?
Yeah. I think Matt's boss, they'll use a bobcat with a little boom on it every once in a while.
It makes sense, you know, because a lot of times you don't want to spend, you might be at a job for 2 or 3 days and you don't want to have a crane there and spend $7,000-$8,000 on a crane.
I know.
Or, you know, a big, huge lull.
Well, once
you
have to, like, bring in an operator, the cost just becomes, that, you know.
And it's something I can use all the time.
I was just talking to the guy, the GC that's running that restaurant job, the one I had sent you the drawings for, Paul. So it looks, we're probably going to wind up converting all the staircases to wood, including the exterior one, because the budget's not there. But even to put in the columns that they need inside, I was like, dude, how are you going to get these columns in? You know, like they're going to be so heavy. They're 11 feet, 6x6. I think they're going to wind up being like 6x6x1/2.
Oh God.
I was like, dude, just rent a lull for the day. You could demo the stairs on the back of the building with the lull, you know, like put forks underneath the stairs,
like
cut them off. No. I mean, not to rip them off. It's a controlled demo. So and I said, then you could telescope the boom of the lull into the basement
yeah,
and move those columns around without having to have like, how are you gonna, what are you gonna do?
Those
and
are heavy.
Yeah, they're going to be so heavy. So, you know, he was like, oh, yeah. And then, you know, I was like, Macklin will love that. He'll love the drive all around. That's like his favorite thing in the world.
That's a good job for him, you know.
Yeah.
So. You just get the forks right through the side of the building.
Dude, I got to – I never sent you the photos of the inside of the building because I know you had a lot of stuff going on this week. It's I'll send them to you. It's crazy. But, yeah, I've been bidding a bunch of work. There's a ton of work kind of coming. And then last week I made a YouTube video about that little chamfering tool. Which
that thing's crazy.
Really been good for me. I gotta say, I think I just need to. And Derek's told me this before. I feel like a real sellout, but I think I just have to stop making projects and just start making videos about shitty tools I buy on Amazon, because that video in the last 2 days has gotten like 70,000 views.
Oh my god!
And what I've video? Sold the little Ooh. Chamfering tool video.
I did.
Last Sunday, I was working in my shop, and I was like, you know what, like. I posted about it on Instagram and it got a million comments and, you know, views. And I was like, wow, like people really like this little thing. I said, let me just make a quick YouTube video. You know, I'll film it. I'll film a little demo and I'll just throw it up on a Sunday and see how it does. So I posted it up. I put the Amazon links as I always do. And, you know, it did pretty well right off the bat. And then I put out another video on, Friday or Thursday, I don't remember. And it, you know, it like when you every time you put out a video, you know, it like tells you how it's doing in comparison to the last one. So I kind of stopped paying attention to the chamfering tool. But I checked it today and it's got like, I don't even know the last time I checked it. I'll check it right now. It's got 120,000 views.
Oh my God.
67,000 in the last 48 hours and 30,000 clicks to Amazon.
When that algorithm hits, it hits hard.
Dude, let me tell you, when it hits on a good product like that, I mean, you guys know my experience with Amazon products, but in the last week I sold $28,000 worth of stuff through
Holy
Amazon.
Holy shit. This freaking kid.
I mean, wow. I don't make, obviously, I'm not, I didn't make $28,000. Oh my God. Yeah. It's been, it's
true dollar amounts, Paul.
It's encouraging. It's encouraging, but it's at the same time, it's like, it's upsetting that I can do something so simple and stupid, like make a video about a thing, which takes no, anybody could make that video, anybody, like an 8-year-old. It's like the kid opening toys. But then if I like build something super complicated that like has so much work and thought into it.
Van ramp?
Nothing. Isn't that garbage, amazing? You know? 5,000 views on that video.
It kind of sucks that that's how it is.
Like, it sucks. I was just saying how like, you know, like I built the van ramp, this huge project, so much work.
I thought
so
that was going to get like 5 million views.
6,000 views that video has. And then I can do something. I could talk about an $88 Chinese tool. I mean, look at the sewing machine. He's got over 1 million views on that stupid video. But I don't want to sound like I'm complaining about it. But at the same time, it's just sad. It makes you like damn. That
yeah,
because
you put so much work into one thing, you know, and then it doesn't. Well, that.
Well, that's what Jimmy was talking about. Look at his little toolbox video, like the success he got from that. You know, you don't know where your next big success is going to come from.
Yeah. So. Maybe just do that, though. Just do tool reviews.
Yeah.
Why not?
Did we lose Chris?
Uh-oh.
He's frozen. Uh-oh. Chris?
Oh, shit. Oh,
he's gone. He disappeared. He went to go get another tool to review.
Oh, my God. Are we still recording or did it stop?
It says recording.
Yeah,
so.
But the clock's not ticking.
Yeah, so maybe he just disappeared.
Oh, boy.
He gets so excited. Oh, God. It's going to be midnight.
Okay. All right. Well, we're back. Anyway, I'll splice it. Anyway, I was just saying how it's – you know, the things that do well are not the things that you care about. You know, I mean, obviously I'm happy to, I gained like 2,000 subscribers to my channel, which are people that are interested in metalworking, right? So they're going to watch the videos that I put out. So it's not bad, but at the same time, it's, you know, I'm about to put out the video of those bike racks and it's like, how well will that do? You know, like, is that going to do as well as this stupid product. I don't know.
Yeah. So you never know. You never know what people are interested in, you know. Mm-hmm. Look at all those crazy like Russians had a lot that of like those the birdhouse.
Pinto's had a lot of videos that did incredibly well, and then other ones where you like knew they were going to do well, and then they just don't.
It's so crazy. It's kind of frustrating, but
I don't How'd your truck bed video do?
Not good at all. It's like weird.
That's annoying.
Yeah, it sucks. It's like maybe it's probably because I'm just not posting as much maybe. Yeah, it's got 2,500 views. You're like,
yeah,
I don't get it.
Wow.
Didn't you shoot a video, Derek? Didn't we were talking about like the net? I mean, now you're wrapped up, so I feel like you probably won't make any content other than Instagram for a while. Yeah. But
I haven't been doing that. And it's been crazy. Like with Instagram, it's funny. So the other day was like the first day I've lost more viewers than I've gotten.
What and do you I've mean? Got,
just viewers like or subscribers? Like, or
subscribers, subscribers, yeah, followers.
Really?
And, yeah, it's weird. I think it's just because, I mean, I really haven't put anything out. And I have like a core group of like 100 people that I know will message me like at least once a day. Like maybe not at least once a day. Not at least once a day, I shouldn't say it. Maybe 4 or 5 times a week. And
but you're in constant communication with them.
Yeah. And they've been like so supportive, unbelievable. And I know when I go back, they'll be there. But I just think some people like, I think some people like the stories or something. I don't know. Maybe Instagram just cleans out bullshit accounts. Like I never really accept any like bullshit accounts. I delete all those. So I don't know. It's just weird. Yeah. Like the other day I lost like 60 people that were following me. But it's like, whatever.
Is your Instagram private? No, right?
No. But so I'm just like, I don't care. I'm gaining a lot some days, you know, like today I got like 60 of them. So it's like, whatever, it is what it is. You know, I'm not going to worry about it. I got bigger things to worry about right now you know, that I got to get through. But, you know, I think like this weekend, there's a thing going on at the Blackthorn. So I'll, you know, probably be local and, you know, doing my thing, you know, not really doing my thing, just kind of hanging out. But I think the following weekend, I'll kind of be back to doing some stuff on the weekend. So I think, you know, it'll kind of level out and, you know, people who see me do my thing will kind of be around and see me do that. So we'll see. I got to stop worrying about it so much, you know, because it just, I can't figure it out. You know?
Yeah, you just have to not think about it. I mean, it's the same thing with the YouTube videos. Like as much as I'm saying, like, you know, it sucks when something doesn't do well. Doesn't really matter, right? It's just one more thing. And you never know when, like, even the videos that you've got on your channel, Derek, like the birdhouse.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
The birdhouse was like that crazy jump.
Yeah.
You know, how many views does the birdhouse have?
It's
524,000.
Yeah. I was hoping to pick up. We're getting some nice weather. People should be building birdhouses.
Right.
maybe they all know how to make them now. So that's why they all learned last year.
Well, 500,000 people learned from you. Yeah. So you've given them the knowledge, you know?
Yeah. It's just so funny. There's just so many people out there. That's what me and Christina were up at like a scenic view today. Just looking out over, I think it's the Hudson Valley or whatever it is. That so I don't know what the hell I'm looking at, but
what between Windham and Durham?
Yeah. What is that? And it's just like there's so much fucking land, and it's like that's like a speck of like ground, like you know what I mean? Yeah, that's nothing, and it's just like it's just like this world, and there's a lot of people, and it's a big place, you know. So, you know, screw it. Who cares?
Every time me and Angela go to the South Shore of Long Island, which is like far more populated and like, you know, not city like by any means, like still very much suburb, but just a totally different environment from like where we live now.
Yeah.
I'm like, I hate it here. I hate it. I hate this place. Like, you know, people are driving like lunatics and there's traffic. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I hate it. Like, I want to go somewhere there's no one, nothing around.
I know. That's what I want.
You know?
I want peace and quiet.
That's it. But then you need the other things. You need the rest.
Yeah.
You know, you need like the
civilization.
Yeah. You know what Christina says, she goes, I haven't seen something since I've been up here and I don't like it. I'm like, what's that? She goes, I haven't seen an Amazon truck. Does Amazon deliver here?
Yeah.
Like, Christina, they deliver here. It's just where we live. It's like, you know, they're at the house 6 times a day. So they're always on our street, you know? But yeah. It's like, of course, Amazon delivers here, you know. But it's just, you know, with Amazon and internet connection, the world is a lot smaller, though. Mm-hmm. You know, it always, you know, shocked me when we went to when we were in England. We went to Alex Steele's house, and like the kid lived in the middle of nowhere.
No, yeah, you guys like were saying
just,
that.
Yeah, it just showed you like a shop and an internet connection and a camera. You know, you can do whatever you want, you know, be
That's
wherever
all
you
needed,
want.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. Just amazing.
I mean, like Jimmy leaving the city, you know, it's like.
Yeah, which you just did.
I would think you could have like a successful, you know. Did he get rid of the apartment?
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's public, but
well, he may or may not have.
Yeah. He can answer that. I think he's talked about it, but yeah.
So, I mean, it's why I have it. You know?
It's just funny because it was like when he first came up here, I'm like, wow, I wonder if he could hack it up here full time. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, obviously because of COVID, it, you know, changed everything for everybody. But even pre-COVID, you know, he really wasn't going down there. He was going down there basically to collect a couple bills and then to, you know, make a few deposits at some banks that were down there. You know, it was like, it was getting to be a chore. And I think that's what, like, just anything in life, like when the pain gets great enough, you'll stop doing what it is that bothers you, you know, and it seemed like that's how going to the city was, you know, and now he's like, you know, he has enough success where he goes, if I wanted to go to the city and stay there, I'll just rent a room.
Yeah.
Which we all know is bullshit. He'd just sleep in his car like an animal.
Sleep in an alley.
Yeah. He wouldn't rent a room. Why would he rent a room?
It's hard. It's hard to do New York City without like a ton of money. Like, and you have a car. Like, it's a rat. It really is a rat race. It's tough.
Yeah.
You know, unless you have a penthouse and a freaking Rolls Royce to come drive you all around everywhere.
Well, that was the big issue. Like when he would make stuff and he'd have to deliver it. Like,
that's crazy.
Imagine. Oh my God. Like doing built-ins and shit. Oh, double packing.
Anybody does it.
Yeah.
Everything.
I go to these shops in the city and like, you know, like when I was working in Manhattan, we used to deal with like some cabinet shops and some of them were big and they had big operations where they had, you know, they clearly had huge money behind them. Right. Cause they had to be paying $40,000 a month in rent for some of these massive spaces. Yeah. And they've got forklifts and parking and all this shit. But some of these shops are like, you know, they're sandwiched between two buildings. Yeah. They've got no loading dock. They've got no forklift because there's nowhere to put it. And they're, you know, but they're still full-fledged cabinet shops. So when they get lumber delivered, it's like worse than my situation, you know, because they have bigger stuff coming more frequently. There's nowhere to park. You can't even get to the garage doors half the time because there's somebody double parked in front of your door. And these guys are trying to figure out like how to park the box truck like around the corner, then like double park it out front, load the truck, go like crazy. I don't
know. It's amazing when you get to the city.
Yeah. Then when you get to the city, you gotta deal with it. Like I remember talking to cabinet makers from Long Island that would work in the city and they were like, yeah, every time we work in the city, we pay a guy for the whole day just to sit in the box truck all day. You know? So like now you're paying a guy literally just to be in the truck, double parked all day. And he's still probably gonna get a ticket, you know?
Yeah.
And like the stress of that, like,
yeah, that's what, like downtown Boston. It's funny. Like you'll see a lot of the delivery trucks, like they'll literally park like on the yellow line, like half on each side and they'll park right in the middle of the street. And then it's funny because then everybody else thinks like, oh, it's okay just to park in the middle of the street. And everybody else starts doing it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's funny with the pizza parlor, we pretty much park wherever we want and we get tickets all day. And we can park anywhere we want except for a fire hydrant and handicap parking. Anything else is fair game with the company. They don't care. But like the seaport, I'm sure it's like Manhattan now. Like there's not even any place to park illegally.
Yeah.
There's no place to park.
Yeah.
There's no
stopping.
You know, like each building has like an entrance that like they pull like the delivery truck in or something like that, but there's no commercial park and there's no, you know, no standing zone, nothing. It's just, there's no place to park. So you can't even park illegally. It's such a pain in the ass. It's just like, I don't know. I just got to get away from it all. So
yeah.
Hopefully.
When I did that thing at Andrew Schultz's studio, he's in like a really like cool part of Brooklyn. Right. So
yeah,
you just, there's nowhere to go. So during the day, there's nowhere to park because there's all like industrial shops. And then at night, there's nowhere to park because there's all apartments. So like I'm, you know, there with Macklin and I'm double parked in front of his loading dock at his building, just like hoping I don't get a ticket because like that wasn't built into the price. So like if I get a ticket, I'm paying for that ticket, you know? So like the whole time I'm like stressed out. I'm like going and checking my car and blah, blah, blah.
God forbid you get towed. You're screwed.
Dude, that's literally my worst nightmare. I'm like, I get like sick over the thought of that. You know? And, but it's just part of it. And then as you're driving around, everybody's just dealing with it. I'm like, dude, forget that.
Yeah. All the contractors, I mean, I'm sure, you know, like in the city, they just added on to the job.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? And they just add X amount of tickets and that's it, you know, and that's how they do it, you know?
Yeah, I actually had a cabinet maker from Massachusetts who somehow got involved with a job in Manhattan we were doing off of Broadway. And this guy had like no stomach for New York City. So this guy was, they would drive down from Massachusetts and they would work for the week. Because they didn't know how to drive and park in the city, they would drive the truck to the site in the morning, unload all their tools, then drive to Queens, park the truck at a hotel they were staying at in Queens that had an outdoor parking lot that they could leave the box truck at, then take an Uber back to the city.
Oh, that's a nightmare. So they wouldn't
get to the site because you couldn't walk in the door until 9 o'clock anyway. So the first walk in the door at 9 would be to unload. Then they would spend 2 hours or so going back to Queens, yada, yada, yada. Then finally one day I was like, dude, like, you know, in the city, you can park a box truck anywhere you can find a parking spot in Manhattan. You know, like he's like, oh, no, no. Like, aren't I going to get a ticket? What if I get towed? So one day I found a spot right in front of the building and I stood in the spot and I'm like, dude, you got to get here and you can have this parking spot. The guy was so stressed out and frantic just trying to drive his. He had it was a Sprinter, actually. It wasn't even the box truck he was in. So it was like what I drive all the time.
Yeah.
He was so stressed out and he's like, dude, I'm not a city person. He's like, you don't even understand. Like, I can't even turn on a block here without feeling like I'm going to hit somebody or I'm going to hit something or somebody's going to hit me.
Yeah.
And he was like white. He was so nervous. And I think, you know, he was he was a guy from the country, you know, being in Manhattan alone was too much.
It is overwhelming driving, if you're not used to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's always funny when you just drive down, you see all the trucks with the mirrors hanging off. You're like, oh, this guy don't park in the city.
Like, you know, the foreman for my company would like zip around the city, like relentless, park, get tickets, move, double park, whatever he needed to do. It was like, you know, he didn't care at all. He was like the opposite of this dude, you know? And it's just, you know, you get so used to it, I think. And the people that grow up living in Manhattan with cars, you just have to be like, you must be so bored when you drive through like a rural county. Like there's no honking, no pedestrians or city bikers.
Well, it's funny. I was just saying it to Patrick. What did I say? I said something about driving in Boston. What the hell was it? Oh, like your car breaks down. We're talking about cars break down. I says, oh man, I said, I had to buy a brand new car. I says, because I'm Boston, you know, you break down, you got 100 people giving you the finger, telling you're an asshole. He's like, that must be a Massachusetts thing, not here. And I'm like, I don't know, but people don't like it, you know, but it's my work truck, it's wide. And it's like the North End. I hate the North End and Beacon Hill. Those roads are so narrow. It's like, and like the North End, it's like you can't even like get up on the curb. The Beacon Hill's the same way, but it's like, it just is a pain in the ass. And then wheelbase is so small. So if you're parked tight to the curb and you take a sharp turn, like the ass end of my truck goes out and it will hit something. It just sucks. Just a pain in the ass.
Trucks must be scarred up. I have to imagine they see some real abuse.
Yeah. Yeah, like the mirror thing, it's just a common thing. Like that's not even, you know, they take accidents real serious, but the mirrors are like, it's just, that's just what happens.
They're disposable. You just like throw in a couple extra in the back of the truck. It's like.
Yeah, yeah. So that's my love of the city.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah.
I always wanted to have like a really shitty, shitty car to drive around New York City so you could really play tag with the taxi drivers, you know? Like, yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
But if you're in like your nice car, you're like, oh, no, this guy's going to get me. I have to drive through the Bronx every time not through the Bronx, but I have to drive on the Cross Bronx, which goes through. And, you know, now that the weather's getting better, every time on the Cross Bronx, somebody rips by me on a dirt bike or a quad or a sport bike. And I'm always like, dude, like one of these guys is just going to like get taken out by my mirror. Cause they're like right at head height. You know, they're like,
yeah,
you know, they're like, they're lower than a semi's mirror, but higher than a car's mirror. Like perfect to like clothesline you off your little KTM. It's one of these days it'll happen. I'll have to film it.
Yeah.
So what do you guys have coming up next? Derek, you got everything.
Yeah. No, I got a couple things coming up. I just can't tell you about them. But I'm looking at my text messages. My buddy Baldhead here, he went hunting for burls in the woods. And like he's sending me like pictures of like look at all these. He's been slicing them up.
Whoa. Interesting.
I'm like, dude, I've never seen like burls
like
that.
To stabilize them or to use them for
tables?
Like,
yeah, probably stabilize them. I don't know. I haven't asked him. You know, he said he's going to send a bunch of them to my house. But yeah, that's just amazing. Wow. You ever seen burls like that in the woods?
I mean, I've seen them on the sides of trees, but I've never been like, yeah. Oh, there's one right in my town. There's this tree that like every year they cut more branches off it and it has a burl on the side of it that's, it's got to be this big. It's huge. Like you could sit on it. It's so big. And I've always like every time I drive by it, I see it every day. I'm like, man, the day they take that tree down, I just want to like lop that thing off the side because it's got to be 100 years old. I mean, the grain in it has to be like insane, you know? But no, I've never really, I don't know. I never really like done any of that stabilizing or any of that shit.
Yeah.
It's a cool thing.
Yeah. It's kind of like that's got to be like your thing. Like you just don't dabble in that. Like,
well, it's like even if you make knives, like you'll get more scale material in a week than you could make knives for the rest of your life. You know? It's like, that kid Lewis will like make knife scales and he'll have like 60 sets of knife scales. I'm like, dude, you made like 3 knives last year. You know, like what are you doing with 60 pairs? Even now in my shop, I probably have more knife scale material than I could use in 10 lifetimes.
Yeah. I think like you just look at it and I just know me, like I almost bought some the other day. Like I know I'm not going to make a knife. And it was like a guy kind of local to me. He makes them and we were just talking and, he just like, I'm like, man, he makes like some beautiful handles. I'm like, I have no reason to buy those. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to make a knife anytime soon like that. You know, I'd like to, but just not going to happen.
It's funny. I was this past weekend on the first. Chris Cash had an open house at his place.
I saw that.
And I was looking. I was watching one of the guy's stories, right? And Matt from That Works had a bunch of like scale material out on the table, like stabilized burls. And literally, while I was watching it, I like paused it because I was like, "Man, some of those look so nice." And then I had the same thought, Derek. I stopped myself. I'm like, what, I'm going to message him and be like, oh, save one of those for me so that I can do what with it. You know, like it's just a cool thing. Exactly. I have a drawer with like stabilized knife scales that I had like bought from a guy on Instagram like 5 years ago. You know, they're just like sitting in a drawer. You know, they're probably like all dried out and shitty now, but they are cool to look at.
Yeah.
Makes you want to make like Patrick Adair like rings that I would never wear, you know?
Yeah. Should see his new car.
Yeah, I did. Did you see that, Pinto? Yeah.
That's crazy because that's like a $350,000 car.
Yeah.
And he's got a couple. I mean, you see the Raptor he has too? He's driving a $125,000 Raptor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I was just talking with him the other day. He's like, he was nice enough to send me a gift card.
Send you some money?
No, well, kind of. He gave me like he can't do like I forget what he said. Like his website screwed up. Like they have to give you a gift card to like give you stuff through it. Like they can't just credit you. You have to like get a thing. So he's like,
it's better for his accounting.
Get some stuff. He's like, get some stuff on the website. He's like, I might head out to East Durham. And I said, well, come out over the summer. You know, And he said, maybe I'll drive out. I was like, take the McLaren. He goes, I like, how long did it take? He's like, 18 hours. I says, take the McLaren and do it in 9.
Oh my God.
I forget where. It's like in like western part of the country.
You wouldn't want to put the miles on that freaking car.
Yeah, no, no. He's just joking. But he said he's going to come out. But
I love just, those cars.
I love like looking at his shit because it's just so funny. Like it goes against everything, like, you know, all this expensive machinery and shit. Like this dude is just like fucking around with like shitty equipment.
How many people does he have?
Dude, he has a lot of people that work for him.
Yeah,
it's a lot. Yeah.
You sure this isn't just a money laundering operation?
Yeah, no shit.
Wait, what's his name?
Patrick Adair.
Yeah,
he sells a ton of rings, and they're beautiful.
Yeah, some of them are $3,000-$4,000, yeah, and some of them are cheap.
He sells some real high-end stuff. Mm-hmm. And you know, he starts selling stuff that costs $3,000 and $4,000 each. You don't have to sell many of them to start making some money. Yeah, the process is like the same, you know.
It's the same thing. Yeah, and the material's expensive, but like it's funny because I know what he's got going. Like, and we've talked about it, right? He's got like the Harbor Freight metal mill, metal lathes and shit. And it's the other day I was on Instagram. I think I told you guys this in the group chat. There's another company, and I'm hoping to see the ad again, but it's like the same thing. It's like it's not him. It's a different company. They make rings, and it's like 10 guys, and it's like, you know, the commercial is like the typical, like, you know, cheesy, like, we are artisans, like honing our craft. And it's like a bunch of dudes in leather aprons with like hipstery beards, like on their red Harbor
Freight
metal
lathes. Probably in like Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, I think it is in Portland. It's like, it was called like Forged, some fucking, you know, like Google algorithm name.
Yeah.
You know, buying ads on Instagram, but it was like exactly his business model, but a little more commercialized. Yeah. Where I think they're a little more low key, like, you know, they make their rings and they sell them. And, you know, there's definitely room in the market for probably 20 of those companies because the demand is there.
Yeah.
But it's just so crazy to think that, you know, I'm sure it was just a very minor hobby for him.
Yeah.
That turned into this insanely lucrative deal.
I think he does so well too, because like he finds like a cool material. Like, like, who was making rings out of semiconductor? What's it? A semiconductor?
Semiconductor.
And you know what I mean? And it's like, you know, and then he did like the meteorite. Like, nobody's fucking making rings out of meteorites. And you know what I mean? And so, you know, he gets ahead of it. And people are like, you know, when you think of it, like, how many millions of wedding bands are sold a year? Mm-hmm. Like, you don't need to a big percentage of the market going to you. And like somebody I was talking to was telling me, it's like, I mean, you're going to be buying a wedding band. Like, men's wedding bands suck. Like, I never even wore mine. I wore mine my wedding day and that was it. I've never worn it again, you know?
Yep. And I went looking and they have these cheesy, like, oh, this is Tanzanite. It's like, oh, what is this?
Yeah. It's all like junk, you know? And it's like, you know, it's the same old garbage. So he has stuff that's different and, you know, people are like, hey, that's cool. And a lot of it's real affordable. Like, you know, like you said, he has some real high-end rings, but he has a lot of affordable rings too, you know?
Yeah, that's what I was looking at when I went on his website, because I was like, you know, like, there's far more people that'll spend $250 on a ring than there are that'll spend $4,000. Mm-hmm. And he's got, like, he did it right. You know, he's got $200, $300 rings that are just, you know, still really cool looking. You know, they have like, I personally, it's not my style, but I'm looking at his website right now. He's got like, with like this glow in the dark blue shit called the Frostbite. He's got one with Ember and a white one called the Ghost Ring. Like, I would never wear any of these.
Yeah, no.
They're $295. There's got to be 100,000 people who would want those. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's you only need a very small percentage of the market to, you know, be successful, you know, but he's got it, you know, and good for him.
Good for Patrick Adair. But yeah, that would be funny if one day he just like rolled up in the McLaren. I had a buddy who he's a bit of a speed guy. He definitely likes his cars. He's got a couple Ferraris and a few Porsches now. And a couple of years back, this is probably like close to 10 years ago now, he came to Boston and he lived on Long Island. And there was another buddy from Long Island also in Boston that weekend when we were riding BMX. And one of the kids was like, oh, I'm going to take the bus home tomorrow. He's like, dude, I'll just give you a ride. at the time, I think he was driving like an M3 or something. He's like, yeah, dude, don't worry about it. So my friend, you know, drives him from Boston back to Long Island in his M3. And then the next day, my friend calls me. He's like, dude, he goes, have you ever been in the car with Chris? I go, yeah, I've been in the car with him like once or twice. He's like, no, like on the highway. I go, no, why? He goes, dude, he goes, we made it home in 2.5 hours. He goes, it was the scariest ride I've ever been on. He's like, he went 90 to 100 the entire time. He's weaving. Oh. This kid has serious, serious money. Like I don't care how many speeding tickets I get kind of money.
Yeah.
And he'll just drive. He'll just get himself out of trouble and he'll just go as fast as he wants to go.
No, it's just Pinto's talking. Be funny. Is he? Well, Pinto better go buy a new mic.
Yeah, I know. I had it on mute because I had some noise in the background.
I saw the visitor.
Yeah, yeah. She's, you know.
Adair should go by, pick up one of his lathes at Harbor Freight in the McLaren. That would be a great video.
Could you imagine? He has a car channel, too. He has a YouTube channel where he just does car shit.
Does he?
Did you know that? Yeah, he has his ring, his business channel. I think I looked it up not that long ago when he bought the McLaren. His like design channel has 800,000 subscribers, and then his car channel has, I think, a good chunk too.
I'll have to follow him on that.
Oh yeah, it's called Buy It, Build It, Drive It, Patrick Adair. He's only got like 14,000 subs, but if you're into cars, I think
I gotta follow.
Yeah. Is that your pick of the week?
That's not my pick of the week. It's not my pick of the week. My pick of the week is Whistling Diesel blowing up that.
Oh my god.
That's my pick of the week. The video of him hitting the fence post,
I
laughed hysterically.
It was absolutely ridiculous.
I audibly laughed out loud. It was so funny. And, you know, whatever. I mean, he's a wise ass and people hate him, but let him do his thing. I would take him over Jake Paul any day of the week.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? I can't stand Jake Paul, but Whistling Diesel, I can accept
his
level of like just asinine behavior. Derek, you didn't watch the video of him hitting the fence post?
No.
Oh my god.
You gotta watch that, and then you gotta watch his welding tutorial.
Oh, I didn't watch that.
Oh, that one's good. That was from like a year ago.
He's gotta be doing pretty well.
One? Was it his last one? His last video?
No,
he bought a Carolina squat truck too.
Yeah,
yes, he got the Carolina squat. No, you gotta watch the one destroying an F-250 in 10 minutes. And then the clip that I'm referring to starts at a minute in. He just runs through like 20 fence posts.
Oh, that's so funny. You know, it's funny is I was thinking of him today. I was driving down the street and we pull out up from the highway onto the street and I'm behind this thing. Let's see if you can see. I'll pause it. It's like a tractor thing.
Oh, I've seen those. Yeah.
It's like so crazy. It was something out of friggin'
it like goes over the crops or something.
Yeah, it must go over the crops. Yeah.
You ever seen the videos of the guys on the sport bikes that go under those?
No. Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah.
People are crazy.
Crazy. People are nuts.
What's your pick of the week, Derek?
Oh boy. Hold on. I don't even know if I watched a YouTube video this week. I know I watched Bobby Dukes, but I'm not picking Bobby. He doesn't need our help.
Poor Bobby.
Hold on. I already gave 1,000 before. Man, I'm boring. It's same thing. Friggin' Fireball Tools.
You know the Ratchet Trap video was good.
Yeah.
That was a good video.
But I'm going to go with my boy Chris Burton, A Glimpse Inside. I just watched one of his videos, and I just like Chris, and I like his videos, so that's going to be my pick of the week.
Nice.
He's a good guy. He's a good family man and a good person. And I think he just went full time, quit his job again, and is just doing content.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a good kid. You know, I'm looking forward to things, you know, happening again, events and seeing people. He's one of the people that I enjoy talking to and seeing. So that's my thing.
Nice.
Yeah, thank you.
Pinto, give me something.
Mine is I think you already, you definitely talked about him, but you might have already picked him for this too. But Andrew Camerata, I've been watching all his videos.
I'm going with Gia Pinto.
Yeah, yeah, I'm going to knock her out. But anyway,
tell her she has to join the Patreon if she wants access.
Yeah, you
want to
come out of the microphone?
I don't know if we can handle.
She could be our next guest. Next time you can't make it, Paul, maybe she could be it.
Yeah, I'll have her fill in for you. For me,
yeah, Jimmy was breaking his balls.
Yeah, Jimmy's got nothing on her.
Dude, it's funny. Last night I went on. My wife was on TikTok.
Oh, and yeah.
She's like, I got to stop this. She's like, the other night it was like 2.5 hours.
I'm
like,
it's
what
crazy.
What the fuck are you doing on? I don't get stuff like that. I get just girls with big boobs, like shaking.
That's
them,
what,
right?
That's what you are attracted to. That the algorithm feeds those to you.
I've been on TikTok 3 times, right? So Mama Ock comes on, right?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I don't know if like he had some older videos where the kid looks like he's older.
Oh yeah.
Like he looks so different to me now, right? But it was funny. I go on, it was like some girl like shaking her ass. It was Mama Ock, and then it was Dave Taylor. And so I liked Dave's thing, and instantly I get a text message. I can't believe Derek from Malden's on TikTok. I go, this is my third or fourth time on TikTok, and I can think for my last time being on it. I cannot get that app at all. I don't know if it's just my age or what.
My dad is like watching shit on there too. Like, I hear
the
music.
I don't even know like how you follow people. Like I don't
it's
even
so
understand.
Weird.
It is
weird. Such a weird thing. It has a very strange interface. It doesn't feel so intuitive. I don't know what it is about it. And I've had a couple videos do well on it, but then it's like the weirdest thing. Like,
I swear to God, they're all inflated. Like,
it's all bullshit.
Everybody I know on TikTok has a million followers or 500,000 or 10 million. And then you go to their Instagram and then what is that?
2,000 followers.
Yeah, they have like 5,000 followers. It's like they have like 5% of what they have on TikTok. It's like, is everybody on the planet just on TikTok? It's crazy.
Well, it's all. I mean, the last two things I posted got under 400 views, but
yeah,
the thing
same
before
with me.
That got like a million.
Wow!
It's like how? How could that be?
It doesn't make sense.
How could that be? It's just it's stupid. But anyway,
if I see one grow, there's the second one I look.
There
at.
He is. There he is.
Ock.
What's there she making?
Go. Let's see. She's making the Mama Ock stovetop lasagna.
Oh, I saw that. That was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
The type of cooking she does.
She does some good stuff.
She does some real good stuff, and it's like not super gourmet. It's not like pasta queen.
No, the KFC fried chicken sandwich looked really good.
Yeah.
You see that one?
Like if you had her really cooking good. For you, you'd be 500 pounds in like a couple
easy,
months.
Easy. Oh, yeah.
You'd be like diabetic.
Yeah.
Paul, are we going to see you next weekend?
Yeah, I'll try and come
next
up.
Weekend? Because maybe next weekend we're doing we're recording our episode in person.
Oh, that would be good. Yeah.
That might be fun. Because next Sunday is Mother's Day. So we got to figure that out.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just thinking Mama Ock. So anyway, but I think that about does it for episode 41. Nice. We'll see you guys next week. Check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/handmadepodcast and patreon.com/Derek from Malden.
Thank you.
patreon.com/makeeverythingshop or something.
Nice.
See you guys later.
Goodbye.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.